Our next guest, a very familiar voice calling games on the Pac-12 Network, ESPN, football, hoops, baseball, hockey. He'll be alongside our friend Anthony Herron as Oregon begins conference play Saturday at ASU. Follow along on Twitter using the handle at Roxy Bernstein. Yeah, you guessed it. Roxy, how are things with you, sir?
What's up, Steve? How you doing?
All is well. General thoughts. I mentioned you have an incredibly diverse background in broadcasting and a passion for all those sports. So I always like to ask people, this time of year where baseball's pennant chase spills over into college and NFL, how high up there on your scale is this for a sports time of year?
It's awesome. I mean, first off, any time of the year is great sports-wise. But when you're getting the grind of the pennant races going down the wire, heading toward the playoffs, the NFL's underway, college football, plus that means we're not too far away from the NHL and the NBA seasons, plus college basketball starting. What else could you want?
No, I'm good. You know, I know you haven't called one of their games yet this year, but as a Cal alum, their start going across the country to win at Chapel Hill, then, of course, that rally to beat Ole Miss. Kind of curious, when they hired Justin Wilcox, a name very, you know, familiar around here, how well received was that hiring?
It was well received, especially by those that were in the Cal community and in the know, Steve, because they were big fans of his from his days when he worked for Jeff Tedford as a linebacker coach at Cal in the mid-2000s. So he had some support. It's just a question of, okay, where's the fan base right now? Because the struggles the last number of years that Sonny Dykes had with the program. So I think that it was a breath of fresh air for a lot of people, where the casual Cal fan, Steve, maybe was taking the wait-and-see approach, where now I think that people are jumped on board with the 3-0 start, huge game coming up Saturday against USC, but all the returns so far have been very positive on Justin.
Yeah, and he's really surrounded himself with a heck of a staff. The defensive coordinator, Tim DeRuiter's been a head coach, longtime assistant. And the Bear defense, like with Oregon and ASU, was awful last season. Pitched a shutout in the second half. They scored the game-winning TD. So how noticeable, I get it's early, but has his impact been defensively with Coach DeRuiter?
Well, first off, it's nice to have a head coach who actually cares about defense. Because, you know, Sonny Dykes is all about outscoring you. We may put up our 50 points per game, but we don't care what's going to happen on the other side of the football. Well, now you have a defensive-minded head coach with a defensive coordinator who has been a head coach, plus a DC at places like Texas A&M. I think it's a great fit. And you allude to the staff, and it's not just on the defensive side, Steve. You look at the offense with Bo Baldwin, who did a remarkable job at Eastern Washington,
sure,
at the FCS level, is now the OC, and he has free reign of the offense. And then, for example, a guy the Oregon fans clearly know very well, Steve Greatwood, is the offensive line coach, and I've already seen the impact that he has had. But you just, it's the little things, Steve, that you see. Guys are put in position to succeed, and you can see how well coached this football team is. Even though I don't know how good their talent level is right now, but I do believe that they're headed in the right direction with Justin Wilcox.
Talking college football with Roxy Bernstein, let's go from the optimistic to the uh-oh. You called Oregon State Washington State. The Beavs looked awful week one, barely beat Portland State, worse against Minnesota, and it looked like the wheels came off in Pullman. Any reason to think that they can turn this around? Or are they in as much trouble as I think?
There's some trouble. And it's fair to say that, and now with, you know, the injury, with news with Jake Luton, and that he's going to be week to week with the injury that he suffered in the second half, that big hit he took from Jalen Thompson, and just glad that everything is okay, the way everything played out.
Oh, sure.
At Martin Stadium on Saturday. But there are some pieces there. You know how good Ryan Nall is, and if he's not the best running back in the conference, he's right there, I think, in the conversation with Royce Freeman, with Ronald Jones. So there are some pieces for Oregon State, but it's a little bit perplexing because I thought they made some really good strides last year in year two for Gary Anderson. They seem to have regressed a bit here in year three. And what stood out to me, Steve, about their performance on Saturday was the mistakes that they were making. For example, Nick Paretsky drops the snap on a punt right before the first half ends. And that's when the game kind of got away from them. In the second half, Washington State pulled away. But it was Oregon State's mistakes that enabled the Cougs to pull away and ended up with a big win.
Now, as for the Cougs, they had that crazy comeback against Boise State where Luke Falk got yanked, then he was injured. What was the buzz leading up to that Oregon State game? Was Leach actually considering a change at quarterback, or was it more the circumstances of the Boise State game?
There was no change considered, Steve. We met with Mike on Friday. And we talked about it. He said, look, Tyler went in there. I think Luke needed to take a series off to watch it from a different angle and just kind of regroup. And he put him back in the game after he initially put Holinsky in. And then, as you alluded to, he took that big hit, but he was fine. There was no injury. They were very clear about that. This was a coach's decision to go with Holinsky because he put Holinsky in again, and he engineered a nice drive, was making the right plays, and let him run with his thing because he's feeling good, and he thought that there was some hesitation with Falk. He wasn't letting loose, and he wasn't being aggressive in that spot where they needed him to be, and it worked. But there was no doubt they were going back to Falk. He's their guy, and you know it's not by accident he's the all-time passing leader in Washington State history.
Yeah, interesting concept there. Talking Pac-12 football with Roxy Bernstein, Arizona State, you called their game the week before last when they lost to SDSU. They just fell at Texas Tech, gave up 600 yards. I mean, they were the second-worst defense in FBS last year. Talking with the folks around Sun Devil football, how much heat is on Todd Graham to be much better this year?
There's some pressure, and it's fair because you look at the way it spiraled out of control for them last year. They lost their last six games. Now, injuries played a significant role in that as some key guys went down. Manny Wilkins was banged up in and out of the lineup for the majority of the season. They played, what, four or five different quarterbacks last year. So they were dealing with a lot. And similar to Oregon State, they've made some mistakes in these last couple of games. They need to clean some things up. They haven't been able to consistently run the football, which is a problem. And because when you look at Kalen Ballage and DeMario Richard, those are two talented running backs. And their offensive line needs to get better. That's one area where ASU needs to improve. And then defensively, they bring in Phil Bennett to be the new defensive coordinator. He was at Baylor the last 6 years and goes way back with Todd Graham. But unfortunately, it appears to be more of the same. And they have to find a way to generate some consistency on the defensive side. Steve, they're just giving up way too many big plays. The chunk plays are what are really hurting them defensively.
Let's move to Oregon. You know, obviously this much documented first house cleaning of the football program in 40 years. Enter Willie Taggart, and right off the bat he's talking about having fun and do something, which all sounds great in the preseason. Then they ran the table in the non-conference. As somebody, Roxy, who is so wired into this conference, what was the word, what was the buzz you heard about that hire when rather than go to maybe another Power 5 program, Oregon hired a guy who I guess was on more of a trajectory career-wise?
And it was a hiring that created a buzz because of what Willie Taggart had done in his previous stops at Western Kentucky and South Florida and having spent some time in the Pac-12 and Jim Harbaugh's staff at Stanford. So it was a known name, but he has created this buzz and this excitement that has been impressive to see. And it's clear to me the players have bought in, and they are on board with the way he is running that program. And you look at the game this past Saturday. What that defense did, Josh Allen was supposed to be one of the premier quarterback prospects in college football.
Right.
And they made him look marginal at best. I mean, way less than average. And that's a guy that's got a rocket for an arm, and he's projected to go in the first round of the draft. And Oregon just destroyed him, and he had a miserable day against the Ducks on Saturday.
Yeah, it was encouraging to say the least. Final thought, and it has nothing to do with football, because I saw your Twitter pictures, a picture of you in tie-dye with Bill Walton. And while me and my producers love this guy, I mean, you guys turn basketball games into a cultural event. What do you hear most from fans when they talk to you about the games you get to call with Big Red?
There's no middle ground. They love him or they hate him. There is nobody that is indifferent as far as reaction that Bill brings from people. I've spoken with you about it before, Steve. You know I love it, and I love being around him. And he loves wherever he's at. So it's a cultural experience for everybody. I come away smarter, believe it or not, is when I get to sit next to Bill, because I learn things I probably wouldn't have had no interest in learning about. So, but it's, I enjoy it. I welcome it, and I know that time is coming soon, because I'll have a ton of games with him coming up early. ESPN tells us the plan is that Bill and I are going to go back to China for that Pac-12 China game, where it's UCLA against Georgia Tech this year. We hear rumblings, it's not confirmed, but we're going to be in Portland for the PK80 working together. So I'm not what I want to jump forward to November, because I'm clearly enjoying college football, but I am excited to get going with Bill again.
Nah, it's awesome. Get ready, folks. Pac-12 After Dark this weekend with Anthony Herron. He'll be calling the action on the Pac-12 Network. By the way, we're big Ant fans. He's been on the show before. Please tell him we send our best. Roxy, thanks a million for your time and insight. Always appreciate your time and look forward to talking again down the road.
Steve, my pleasure. Anytime.
All right.
Love it.
Take it easy.